Hi, I'm teaching two seminars this fall. One is on poverty, inequality, and public policy. That meets Friday, 9 to 11, once a week for 2 hours. And this seminar, we examine the nature and extent of poverty in the United States, the causes of poverty, its consequences, and various existing and proposed government programs and policies. We'll be asking questions like the following. What is poverty? How do you measure poverty? Why does it persist over time and across generations? What role have the recent increases in economic inequality, the decline in marriage rates, the increase in mass incarceration, structural economic changes, skill bias, which is a particular kind of structural economic change, which basically says jobs are becoming increasingly high-skilled versus low-skilled, and the middle jobs are disappearing. The distribution of education and changing social norms play in both generating poverty and reproducing poverty and lack of opportunity. So we'll be looking at neighborhoods, at schools, at labor markets, at families and decisions that are made there. The first half of the course, actually the first two-thirds of the course, we will look at social science theories and evidence on these questions. And the last 3 weeks of the course, we'll examine particular policies. And these will be student-led discussions. The first two-thirds of the class is a combination of lecture and professor-led discussions. But the last three or four classes, the students will lead the discussion in particular areas of policy. Last year, I looked at crime policy, pre-K proposals, and college policy because there was a lot going on in those. I probably will still look at crime policy. I still think that's important. But I'm thinking about revisiting the EITC and the child tax credit because there was a big boost in them to fight the Great Recession by Obama. Those changes are going to end or will need to be reauthorized, I think, at the end of 2016. It may be 2017. And when they do, low-income families with children will get less. Low-income working families with children will get increasingly less subsidies. And so it'd be interesting to think about what proposals, whether we should continue those, expand them, or narrow them. The course has two sets of requirements. One set of requirements is a set of short essay papers, about 2 to 3 pages long, and on the readings for the week. And you do about 8 of those over the 14 weeks of the class. The second is that you write that you give an in-class presentation as a group on one of the policy topics. Any questions? Okay, women and work. Women and employment policy will be taught on Thursday from 4 to 6. This course is concerned with why women earn less than men, why with women's employment, their wages, with gendered inequalities in the labor market. And it's really changing a lot next year. We'll begin mainly because I taught it this year for undergraduates and decided it was a little boring. Okay, so we're going to begin with the still very boring stuff. We're going to look at major theoretical arguments and evidence about women's work. And we're going to begin with economists, with Claudia Golden and Betsy Stevenson. And then we're going to look at sociologists, psychologists, and the policy arguments. And we're going to look a lot at evidence here, a lot of how men and women, how men and women's employment, occupational choices, and earnings differ, at explanations for those differences. About how men and women allocate time between work and family, about whether gender inequality has declined, how much it's declined, and whether that decline has plateaued over time. It has. It's sort of starting about 2000. Everything sort of, women did pretty well in closing the gap, and it pretty much stayed the same. How well do we understand the causes of why women earn less than men and evidence on that? And one thing I'm particularly interested in exploring, which I haven't, is that women are basically increasingly stratified by education in the labor market and in the marriage market. So if you're a college-educated woman or man, you're likely to have see earnings increase over time. You're likely to escape unemployment. You're likely and to have steady employment, and you're also very likely to get married, to have children after you get married, and to remain married compared to other groups. If you don't have a college education, and by that I mean a BA or more, you're very likely to have to be a single mother for prolonged periods of time. You're very likely to have children out of wedlock. You're very likely to have lower wages and to see and to experience erratic periods of employment. And you're much more likely to have problems balancing family and work. So the issue of balancing family and work, which I think is increasingly important for both elite women and non-elite women, is very different in those two populations. And that's why I have become unsatisfied with my class, and I'm trying to figure out more about what to teach on that. It's covered in incredibly boring detail for elite women, mainly because elite women study elite women and they like knowing about them, I guess. But for low-income women, there's a lot of pieces that could be put together, but people haven't thought about it as a gestalt as a whole. So, what happens, how do women cycle between being on public welfare or not is a big question. But how do why are some women, low-educated women disconnected from the labor market? But an overarching theory instead of explanations, I would argue, are not out there. And so I'm going to try to be pulling together that literature for this course. The way the course runs is, again, it meets once a week for 2 hours. The first two-thirds of the class are combined lecture and discussion. So, in both classes, I try to do more discussion than lecture, and I sometimes succeed. And the second part of the course, I'm going to ask students to analyze. Students will be giving individual presentations where they analyze their family from a work history perspective. They do a family tree, which says, this is what my grandparents, my parents, and their siblings, and I and my siblings, this is our education and what we've done for work. And then they pick out two members of their family in any generation and compare the decisions they made about work and talk about how well the models and evidence we've looked at before help them in thinking about the progress, the trajectory of their family's work and family time devoted, work and family labor decisions. As it turns out, this is real. That is the part of the course that is still working. And so I like that part of the course a lot. And one nice thing about this particular program is we have a variety of families. I'm now teaching it at the undergraduate level, and the group I have seems to have all highly educated, highly paid parents and grandparents. And so it'll be rather boring when they do it, but I'm hoping, usually in this class, there's a variety of upward and downward mobility stories that are quite interesting.